All good, Pastor.
All good.
All good.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Just give you a few seconds to come on in. Take the time to like and share if you're not following us on Facebook or on YouTube or Zoom. However you got here, we're so glad to see you. Hope you enjoy this. This is our first part. This is where we just kind of do a little worship at the beginning. Something about worshiping God that puts everything else in perspective. But she's making her way here, and she could not be here today. And I'm certain that she's somewhere watching me. So, hi, honey. Much love. And I had some of my minister friends that said, David, when your wife's not here, don't you try to sing. So I'm not going to try to sing today. But I am going to play a song that my wife sang. If you don't know the song, go back and listen to just the beginning part of our first Worship and Wisdom Wednesdays, and it was a song we opened up. The song simply says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then it has the amens at the end. So that's what I want to pray for you today. And then we'll get into our wisdom for this Wednesday, which is a continuation of our series on the vitality of wisdom. Amen. All right, let's get some worship. tell, I get lost in the worship. Today was a real good day for me. The Lord blessed me today in a very unique way, and I'm glad to be here just to share this time of worship and wisdom with you. Amen, amen, amen. All right, let's get into position now for the worship part, for the wisdom part of what we do. Amen. Okay, so this is our time of worship and Wisdom Wednesdays. We always like to open up with prayer. Father, thank you for blessing us in this time together. Thank you for those that are under the sound of my voice in whatever medium that they are watching. We're grateful for them and for those that will be touched by your impact on your life. I pray, Lord, that you would give them, that you would empower them with this principle from the book of Proverbs as we talk about the vitality of vision. We thank you, Lord, as you speak, not only as we speak to you through our worship, we ask that you would speak to us through your wisdom. Now say this with me, Heavenly Father, your word says, if I lack wisdom, I should ask you in faith without wavering, and that you would give it liberally without fault finding. I ask now for that wisdom, and I believe that I receive it. And I say with my Lord Jesus that I must be about my Father's business. Thank you for giving me your insight into my kingdom success. In Jesus' name, I pray expecting, amen. Now say this with me. I am a believer of the word of God. I am an epistle of the Spirit of God. I am a disciple of the Son of God. I am a finder of the destiny path of God for my life. Alrighty, alrighty. Let's get on to it. Just want to remind you, as we've said before, I'm not too far from where you are. YouTube, Instagram, the platform formerly known as Twitter, which is now X. And of course, on Facebook, you can find either Pastor David EJ, David Johnson Ministries International, or DEJ Ministries, or Destiny Generation Church. So please know that we're out there. And we're also out there on your podcast forums under Destiny Generation Church. And so please take the time to do that. And if the word is blessing to you, please share with others. All righty. See something in the chat. Is that something in the chat that I need, or am I should go on? I think I'm going to go on unless you tell me to stop.
Just amen. That was all. Just amen.
Amen. Okay. Power principles from the book of Proverbs, the vitality of vision. This is part three. We are looking to conclude this power principle. You know that our core scriptures is Proverbs 29 and 18. I gave you what I call the King David interpretive version, or the King David version. That's me. That's not King James. It's not official, but it is a paraphrase of the studies that we've done, and we did the details on that in the first of this study. And where it says, where there's no collective vision of a preferred future, self-control in the present becomes difficult, but the person who makes daily decisions in line with their desired destiny shall achieve happiness and success. We went on from there, and then we also did a look last week in part two on Habakkuk chapter 2 verses 1-4. But verse 2, I also created this King David version of that as well. And it says, open your hand and prepare to document the corporate and kindred vision of your covenant with God. Make it plain. Strongly house the things that are of highest importance. Document it in a durable fashion, which allows you to urge action by what you have joined together in the vision and separated from all other things. This process will enable a person who is inescapably hooked and compelled to move toward their desire because they have been arrested by the vision and continue to read and call out what they have seen. And then we gave you 8 principles of vision development and fulfillment. But 4 of them, I'm just going to, because this is a summary, and if you want the detail, you got to go back. But we said, first of all, we gave you the definition that vision is the progressive picture of purpose. Vision is purpose in pictures. Then we told you revelation without documentation leads to frustration, and revelation that's unretrievable is unusable. So there is this: write the vision, read the vision, run with the vision, and repeat the process that we want you to really be clear on. And then we made this final bold statement that if you can see the invisible, you can do the impossible. Okay, now let's today look at a time when a people group rose up with a collective leadership capability to fulfill vision that arrested heaven's attention. Now this group of people, their visionary capacity was so great that heaven stopped to see what they were doing on earth. We're gonna talk about vision, but we're gonna talk about it in a different way. If you think about it, there was this reading and writing part, and we talked about the visionary versus the people, but here we're seeing how a people group that is a people that are connected with corporate vision can how people together, when they have a collective vision, they can cause amazing things to come to pass and come to fruition. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 11 verses 1-9. Genesis chapter 11, we're going to read verses 1-9, but let's look at verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Notice that, you see I have it highlighted in green there, because these are some important concepts that we want to deal with that. We're going to look at this verse 1 in several translations because I think there's some nuances here that we want to really notice. In the Amplified Classic Bible, it says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one accent and mode of expression. You know, we speak English, but our English is different from the English you might hear in England, or that you might hear in Africa, or that you might hear in Australia. But this says, at this point in time in Earth's history, the whole earth had one language, one accent, one mode of expression. In the English In the English Standard Version, it says the whole earth had one language and the same words. Now, why is it important that they have one language and the same words? Because sometimes, as we have proven in the American context, we can have the same language, but we are not always saying the same thing. And certainly, we're not always thinking about it the same way. All right, let's look at some other translation. The Good News Bible says, at first, the people of the whole world had one language and used the same words. The God's Word translation says the whole world had one language with a common vocabulary. The HCSB Bible, it says, at one time, the whole earth had the same language and vocabulary. The Chumash, which is a Jewish Old Testament, said, the whole earth was of one language, and common purpose. One language, and we all had and shared the same why. One common purpose. Now let's kind of break that one down. I like that because it says something there that I think is really important. It says that the whole earth, my perspective on it was one language and one common purpose, that the King David Version says that the whole earth had a homogeneous culture. It wasn't, you know, this minority and this majority and this age group versus, you know, the boomers versus the millennials and the immigrants versus the those that are born here, and it wasn't this African-American group versus the European Americans. It wasn't all of that. They were of one homogeneous, all the same culture. Sepheth is the word that's used there. When you look at the word there for language and do the Hebrew word picture studies, it literally talks about that they had teeth and a mouth to make covenant. They all had a common ability to speak and make covenant. And they used that ability to create agreement and covenant. They had a common ability. Everybody had the same thought and word when they used the picture. Because sometimes we are saying the same words, but sometimes the picture in our head is of different things. All right? Let's look at what else we can see about this. It says not only that they have one language, they have one speech. The word speech there is the word dabar. And the word picture of these Hebrew letters says that they use words as a path to sons. Or they use words as a gateway to people who could build toward the vision. Man, like, can we, like, think about you if you're a hiring manager or an entrepreneur, can you define the key pieces and the key people that are necessary to help the vision move forward? And can you secure those people and can you arrest them with the vision that, and can you convey what's in your head and heart to their head and heart to the point where they're motivated like you're motivated and they adopt your vision and create a common vision, not a division or division. They recognize that this was a path to a strong house. They had common purpose. All right, let's go on to verse 2. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. Then they said to one another, and please note the words that I highlighted there in green. Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Make bricks and break them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. Okay. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower, and a tower whose name, whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Now look at verse 6. This is an important point about collective vision. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. And they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. Now remember, this is the Godhead talking amongst itself. It really wasn't talking to them. It was talking about them. But this is God in all of his infinite knowledge talking amongst himself about this group of people and what they had purpose to do. Look at this. We read there in the New King James. Let's see it in the King James. The Lord said, behold, the people is one. In that original King James, they said people are is more because people is plural, but the people were so one that they said is instead of are. The people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do, proposed, imagined, in the Amplified. Classic. It says, Lord said, behold, they are one people. They have one language. This is only the beginning of what they do. Now, nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. If they can imagine it with this kind of unity, they can't be held back. The Bible in basic English says, the Lord says, see, they are of one people and all have one language, and this is only the start of what they may do. Now, it will not be possible to keep them from any purpose of theirs. Whatever they purpose to do, whatever their why is, whatever their what and their why is, he says, whatever it is, it'll get done. Now, let's look at the word there for, you know, purpose. What is it they purpose to do or imagine to do? That word is the word zamam. In the Strong's or Concordance, it's the Hebrew word number 2161. This word, this tells us that the people of united language and speech cannot be withheld from the collective purpose they imagine. So I want, if I'm a leader, and you can see in our current discourse in this country, you can't force unity on people. Sometimes people want to impose their vision on you, but vision can't just be imposed on somebody if you wanted to have this kind of thing, because I have to send vision out, but then the people on the other end, the visionary has to send vision out, but the people also have to receive it and adopt it as their own, because their imagination is just as important as the person who's standing at the helm. But it talks about that there has to be some process of unifying those people. So I want to give you a specific definition of unity that I have. And it is, unity is the process of alignment of mind, mouth, motive, and movement. Alignment of mind, mouth, motive, and movement, such that every part is recognized with revelation, place with purpose, and utilized relationally, such that power is maximized and destiny fulfillment is realized. Let me repeat that. Unity is the process of alignment of mind, mouth, motive, and movement, such that every part is properly recognized with revelation, placed with purpose, and utilized relationally, such that power is maximized and destiny fulfillment is realized. This definition describes the nature of unity in terms of key alignment areas, what I like to think of as points of leverage. In a vehicle, the steering wheel, the gear shift, the accelerator pedals, and the brakes are points of leverage. The person who controls these points controls the direction of the entire vehicle. Now, somebody can be in the back rolling the window up or down, but that doesn't change the direction of the vehicle. Another person can be on the side turning the radio up or down, but that still won't change the direction of the vehicle. But the person who controls these points of leverage, the steering wheel, the accelerator pedal, and the brakes, and the gear shift, will determine the way the entire vehicle moves. Even so, if you want to get unity, you got to think about the mind of a group of people. You got to think about their mouth. You got to think about their motive and their movement. And it has to be in line with the vision that you have in such a way that every part of the team, every tool that you have is placed on purpose around that collective vision, is every part is recognized with revelation. So God has to reveal to you, you need some inspiration to see how are all of the pieces we have going to get us from here to there. then so we need to recognize the important pieces. We need to place them on their purpose, and then they have to be utilized in relationship to other to one another in such a way that the power of the collective is maximized, and so we can make the progress, or so that that destiny vehicle can move towards the fulfillment and that fulfillment be realized. Say amen if that definition blessed you. All right. I know you're on mute, but say amen anyway. You can type it in the chat. That helps me too. All right. Verse 7. Now this is the Godhead speaking again. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Amen. So Genesis 11, 1 through 9 gives us a case study of the power of this principle, meaning the vitality of vision and its empowering effectiveness. It also shows us the power of unity in these key areas that we talked about. So let's break it down. 8 power keys on corporate vision from Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. Number one, there is power and unity of language and speech. There's power and unity of language and speech. Because you say the same words doesn't mean you have the same picture in your heart, right? When we say make America great again, some people have different pictures than other people. Just saying, making an observation, not a value judgment. But we know that that's the case, or we wouldn't have the gridlock in Washington, D.C. that we do. Remember, mind, mouth, motive, and movement. But mind, mouth, and motive is what we're talking about when we speak. We said they didn't have different accents, different dialects. There was no subculture or counterculture, right? They weren't divided against young and old and young. But it's not just language. It's not just language. It's not that we have this English language. They say that during World War II, there was a time when the Americans and the British were trying to work together, and they wanted to table something. And the Americans, for them to table it meant to take it away and put it on the side and wait. But for the British, table it means to put it on the table and to deal with it right now. They argued because they used the same word, but they had different pictures in their mind when both of them really wanted to talk about it right now. Sometimes we have the same language, but not the same vocabulary. These people had the same. And so if you're a visionary in a corporate vision, this is hard work. Do not get it twisted, okay? Particularly on the other side of the confusion of language that happened at the end of this account, okay? So it's not just language, it's vocabulary. When I'm leading in a collective vision, I reserve the right to control definitions and terminology. Now, why do I feel that's so important? Because this principle is too important. Listen, I want to define what the terms mean. Now, I don't think I have all the answers, but I understand that I have to be able to persuade and convince people to use words the same way and to create a language together. And I have to inspire and persuade. And I can't make them take it, but I have to invite them into this collective process, because to the degree that I have buy-in, then we can make progress towards destiny fulfillment. Number two, have a conversation and collective meditation about work, results, and rewards. Work, results, and rewards. A story was told of a man that came into a stone quarry where stonemasons were preparing for one of the great European cathedrals. He asked three stonemasons what they were doing. One said, "Can't you see? I'm cutting rocks." The other said, "I'm making a living for my family." The third and the last one said, "I'm making a great cathedral. It's going to be magnificent." When it comes to corporate visions that work, you have to see the rocks, the family, and the cathedral all at the same time. Most people visualize vacations without the valuable work that make vacations possible. Most people are at work imagining the days that they'll be away from work, not recognizing that vacation is meant to give you recreation or recreation so that you can step away and step to the vision empowered to fulfill it. Number three, be willing to gather the right materials and tools and prepare them completely. Back to the bricks. Let us make the core commodities bricks, and then it said, let us burn them thoroughly. Let us make the core commodities and then refine them to a high state of excellence. Whatever your vision is, you got to find what is the basic building block that causes the whole vision to come to pass. In the business world, this is called the core elements of your business. For the church, it is the revelatory truths given by the Father. My proof text for this proposition is Matthew 16, where Jesus called Peter a small stone because he had revelation of Jesus as the Christ. Peter, continuing in that same stream of truth in 1 Peter chapter 2, says that we're lively stones when we come to the living and chief cornerstone who Jesus is. So be willing to work on the foundational, unglorious enablers and optimize them towards excellence. Sometimes people want the big vision, but they're not willing to come down and do the thing that's unglorious, that nobody sees. Who was there when Steph Curry kept shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting when he was smaller than other basketball players, when all the scouts said he wasn't big enough to take it? Who was there when Michael Jordan was making all his moves in practice and getting up early in the morning, or Kobe or any of the greats, or LeBron? Yep, I put them all in the same category. Don't send me no hate mail. I'm just saying, who was there when they're working on their craft when it's unglorious, as the basics of dribbling, shooting, and passing? Those unglorious fundamental enablers. Number four, be prepared to get started without full information, believing God will give you revelation along the way. They started out just with the bricks. Then somewhere God gave them a picture of asphalt. They found the bricks first. Then they got a picture of how to connect the bricks to one another with asphalt, mortar, or concrete. I've used this so much at work that my team is now getting the picture. You start out with that picture and move towards it, knowing God will show you more along the way. You got to believe. That's the faith part. Remember, we said in the last time, as you run towards the vision, it will speak and not lie, because you got to believe as you're making progress towards the vision, even though you don't know everything you need up front, by the time you get there, you'll know what you need. The women, come on, we're coming up on Resurrection Sunday. The women said, "Who's going to move the stone away from us?" And even though they didn't know who was going to move the stone, they kept walking towards the tomb. And on the third day, he got up. I'm sorry. I feel like closing like a Baptist preacher, but I ain't ready to close. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. So you have to start with what you have. Start where you are. Start with what you have and give it all you got, believing that some more is going to come along the way as you move along the journey. Number five, be prepared to put individual excellence towards collective achievement. The Western societies are better at making bricks of individual achievement. Eastern society, Asiatic countries are better at making asphalt. They have a collective consciousness. Okay? Biblical wisdom says we need both. We need individual bricks, but we also need mortar. Let's refine our individual expertise to the highest extent possible, but then let's seek the way and wisdom on how to integrate it into a cohesive whole. You can't be so individual that you can't submerge yourself into the needs of the team. And you can't be so collective and we-minded that you can't make the strong individual contribution that only you can make. The Bible says it this way, that we're members, we're the body of Christ, members in particular, but every part needs the other part because we're better together. All right. Number six says, be willing to develop a vision that is complete and comprehensive. Now, for those of you that are doing different things in business and so on, this is the secret sauce about the vision. Like, how do you know and can you define when your vision, not your fulfillment of the vision, is complete, but when the vision itself, what you see and want to do, is complete. I need a vision itself that doesn't have holes in it. I need to think about bricks. I need to think about burning. I need to think about mortar and how to connect them. But then to what extent? Because I can use bricks and mortar to build a house, a road, a tower. I can build a bunch of things. So now I have to get beyond the bricks. I have to get beyond the burning. I have to get beyond the mortar. And then they first started thinking about a city, which is sustainable development. Your vision must be practical enough to be sustainable. If your vision can't sustain you and produce a livelihood for you and for all those involved, forget it. Like, your vision, some people had these pipe dreams, but they haven't built them up to the point where they are sustainable. I don't just need the vision to keep the vision alive. I need it to grow enough that it can keep me alive and can keep all of us alive. The vision has to be practical enough to be sustainable. Then they also didn't just see a city, they saw a tower. A tower means desirable achievement. Your vision must achieve something that a group wants to accomplish. Not enough for you to want to accomplish. You gotta get buy-in to the point where others want to accomplish it as well. Then, city, sustainable development, tower, desirable achievement. Name is aspirational accomplishment. Your vision must result in collective recognition for success. Everybody must share in the success, right? I believe in MVPs and all of that, but listen, if only one person is getting the benefit, then your vision isn't big enough. It's got to have something in it that causes people who buy into it to benefit from it, all right? Then they said that they wanted their city, their name. They wanted a city, their tower, their name, and then they wanted to reach unto heaven. That means your vision must have a capacity for what I call unlimited fulfillment. In other words, your vision must present an open heaven of possibilities to those willing to engage in it. It can't just be limiting, okay? Can't just be limiting. Can't just be one people group, right? And all y'all get all of the benefits and everybody else got to sit around and wait for you to dole out the stuff. No, your vision ain't big enough if it doesn't present an open heaven over the whole people group that buy into that vision. All right? That's number six. And say amen if that bless you. All right. I'm preaching myself happy. Forgive me. All right. Number seven, ensure your vision came from God so that its power moves you toward the purposes of God, not against it. Remember Habakkuk 2, 1 through 4, we talked about that last week. God gives vision to a committed person, but its fulfillment to a committed people. God had said here, now why did God come down against their vision? We started in Genesis 11, but in Genesis 9, God stated that his vision was for the people to replenish the earth, and they wanted to stay locked in one place. So their vision was at cross purposes to the will of God. Their vision was at cross purposes to the will of God. All right. And so we got to understand that piece of vision that God wants to do there. And then finally, principle number 8, see your imagination, not just you, but your collective people group. See your imagination and imaginations as the womb, using that term in terms of pregnancy, as a womb of divine assignments that will trigger divine capabilities to be released in you. That part of us being made in the image of God is in our ability to imagine things that have not yet become. Sometimes we use our imagination in the negative. What are you talking about? Using your imagination in the negative is the definition of worry. Okay? It's seeing pictures of possibilities that are negative, that haven't come to pass yet. But the fact that you worry proves that you can truly imagine and envision things that are possible in the positive. When you start with vision, assume the position of a cheerleader, not a critic. Develop the nothing is impossible mentality. Talk about things you have no clue of how they can come together. Be willing to see the invisible, as we said last week, so that you can do the impossible. All right. Want to stop there. Anything, Joshua, in the chat or in the notes that I need to think about, talk about? Want to stop there. That was really the core content I want to cover today.
We're all good in the chat. I think you covered all the notes. Checking live right now. I think we're good on live as well.
Okay. Remember, this is meant to be a dialogue. And even if you're watching after and you put something in the notes, me and my team will go back. We try to stay on top of it so that we can answer questions. I'm hoping that this is thought-provoking as you think through your own vision and how you're pulling your team together and what you want to do to fulfill the vision that God has for you. All right. So I'm praying right now because I had planned to move to another thing, and I think I'm going to give you one more teaching around the vitality of vision before we move on to our next study. I think that God has one more in me. I thought I was something different, but you know how he interrupts your regularly scheduled program. And I had a thought that came about another scripture to share with you, because I want to talk to you about how the Holy Spirit can come upon you. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom, and he is the one that comes upon people who invite him in a particular way and empowers vision when it's a vision that's in line with the purposes of God. So we'll talk about that next week. That wasn't my plan, but praise the Lord. All right. Now, I pray this was a good one for you today. Were you blessed by it? Well, I'm going to encourage you to partner with me. I have a vision. I can't make you take it, and it's okay. It's not I have to. This is a labor of love. But for me to do the things and the elements that I want to do, I need people such as yourself who see this vision to buy into it. So see if this resonates with you, if the vision we share. If you like this kind of worship and wisdom on your Wednesdays, we want you to go out to our Givelify page. Just download, look up Givelify in your app store on your phone, And you can find a way to give there. That's the easiest way to give. If you want to do something different, then you can message us and we'll help you do something. But I'm trying to do things electronic because it just makes it easier for us. And we're trying to do that bricks, mortar, right? City, tower, name in heaven. We're trying to do that with the vision that God has given us here at David Johnson Ministries International and Destiny Generation Church. Okay. I also want to tell you, man, I pray that our worship has been inspiring to you. I have principles that I teach on worship. Unlocking the Heavens Through Thanksgiving is my first book, and it's beginning of a series on the praise and worship. And so it just kind of lays the foundation for how I do the worship things that I do. Please reach out to us, instant message us at David Johnson Ministries International or Destiny Generation Church, and then you can connect with me. And we'll get a hard copy of the book. But if you were, you know how they say you go to the, they used to say, they don't ask you no more. They used to ask you paper or plastic. Do you want paper or do you want electronic? Well, if you want electronic, you can find this book, Unlocking the Heavens Through Thanksgiving, in Kindle on Amazon.com. If you look up David E. Johnson and that title, you'll find me there. And I pray that that is a blessing to you. Hey, we told you that we were excited about Passion Week and Resurrection Sunday. We've been virtual, but I want you to come see me. If you're in the Metro Detroit area, this is a high and holy Sunday. And so I'll be ministering the word at New Destiny Christian Center Church with Pastor Vernon and Lady Yolanda Walker as the host. So I'll be there this Sunday, 11:30, for Resurrection Sunday. I have a message. It's probably the most, it's more of a Pentecost message than a resurrection message, but it's going to be a good one. I'm telling you, you're going to be blessed. I promise you. And we're going to stream it to our sites as well. If you're committed to your church, I get it. I'm not trying to mess with you, but if you got a pull in your heart to come see me, come holler at me. All right. Sunday, March 31st, they meet at 21701 West 11 Mile Road, Suite 11 in Southfield. So please come and see us. Well, we're coming to the end of our time today. And I'm super excited about what the Lord wants to share with us. Next week, we're going to give you one more vitality of vision and how to partner with the Holy Spirit in the area of vision. And the Holy Spirit has a special language of visions and dreams. And so he wants to help you in this area. And also, he wants to help you with heaven's empowerment when you have a big vision and a small human empowerment to get it done. And I want to share some principles with that. And then we'll close this out. And then we'll go on to our next power principle from the book of Proverbs. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just want to say thank you. I thank you for every person, every visionary, every leader, every member of corporate vision, wherever they are, to whatever you call them to do and where you call them to be. I thank you for this time of worship where we can acknowledge you in this time of wisdom where you can speak to us. I pray, Lord, that everything we did and said, that it would bring glory and honor to you and empowerment to your people. Bless those that hear and act on the word, pray and support us, whether it's through prayers, words of encouragement, and financial gifts. You know the vision that you've given us and the steps that we are working to make towards it. I'm praying, Lord, that as I lay out the vision, that people will come alongside and continue to gather and be a part of what you called us to do. But I'm praying that what you have called them to do, that you would give them willing workers and helpers to help them, that these principles of vision would empower them to destiny fulfillment. I pray that in wherever space and place, whether it's family, it's kindred, or whether it's corporate vision, that you would help and empower them to be unified. Help them as they work on their alignment of mind, mouth, motive, and movement, as they work on their bricks and their mortars, as they think about the refinement, think about the connection, and think about the sustainable achievement, the aspirational things in the tower. Think about their name, that the collective accomplishment in heaven. Think, Lord, I'm praying that you would empower them with an open heaven full of possibilities. And thank you for giving us your insight into our kingdom success. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I got another good one for you next week, I promise. If you can come out and see me on Sunday, love to have you. But whatever you do, please take some time to enjoy this Passion Week. This is when Jesus paid it all for us, and it's a high holy time for the church. And please be encouraged this week and know that God has something special for you. I love you. On behalf of me and my wife, Lady Nedra, God bless you. See you next time.